This is the Podvig, a podcast containing reflections and encouragement from Holy Scripture, the saints, their lives, and the hymnody of the Holy Orthodox Church for your Podvig. That is, for your spiritual struggle in the war against the passions. And I am Joel Dunn. Let's get to it. The Podvig, Episode 34, The Garments of Leaves. Here's a quick recap of last week's episode. Last time, we delved into the story of the fall of man. Originally adorned in divine glory, Adam and the woman enjoyed a true relationship with God. However, they were led astray after lowering their gaze from God to the tree of knowledge and desiring to take its fruit for themselves. St. Athanasius calls this the fall of man into himself, where the contemplation of God was rejected for self-regard through the physical senses. He says, quote, "The presence of love, the Word, had called them into being. Inevitably, therefore, when they lost the knowledge of God, they lost existence with it. For it is God alone who exists. Evil is non-being, the negation and antithesis of good." End quote. Think of evil as a virus. It has no life in itself. It is a corrupted and incomplete piece of information. Alone, it is inert. It has no functioning body. It requires a host because its only purpose is to copy its own twisted self to the detriment of that which is living and properly functioning towards a purpose. A virus corrupts or destroys its host from within. This is what the evil one is and does. As St. John Chrysostom observes, quote, "Such is the evil that sin is. Not only does it deprive us of grace from above, but it also casts us into deep shame and abjection, strips us of goods already belonging to us, and deprives us of all confidence." That's why, rather than making Adam and the woman like God, eating the fruit alienated them from God and laid them spiritually bare, naked, and bereft of any cover to hide their shame. And why does sin act on us in this way? Well, James gives us valuable insight into what is going on a symbolic and spiritual level when we sin. He says, quote, "Each one of us is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." James 1:14-15. There's a reason that James describes the process of temptation, sin, and death in terms of reproduction. It's through this paradigm that we see the fall for what it really was: communion with the devil, resulting in the corruption of man from within. But it is also the pattern by which God redeems his creation. Adam and the woman were tempted with the thought of becoming like God on their own. Temptation is the means by which our love and allegiance is tested. James 1:2-4 and 12. But rather than engaging in self-control, amidst evil suggestion, which stirred up temptation, they engaged with the temptation, allowing it into them, which produced a desire to become like God. Together, man and serpent consummated a relationship in lust for godship. In man, the serpent beget, as it were, the seed of corruption. This unholy union conceived the means by which they could each fulfill their own desires. And by consuming the fruit, man births sin into the world through this knowledge of evil. Genesis 3 tells us that after eating, their eyes were opened. They knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Genesis 3:7. When the covering of God's glory fell from them, they found themselves exposed. They were not like God because they had no existence in themselves. His breath had enlivened their souls. They were as good as dead. For in him we live and move and have our being. Acts 17:28. Their eyes were now opened primarily to the physical senses. Their spiritual eyesight had been diminished. Having become the host for evil, they had brought sin into the world, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. They had been naked before the fall, so their nakedness wasn't a problem. But their unfaithful union with evil had indeed exposed them. Adam and the woman realized that they needed to replace God's garment of grace to cover for themselves, to help keep them in existence. Psalm 145:20 says, "The Lord preserves all who love him, but the wicked he will destroy." Our physical bodies alone are not sufficient to hold us together. Man is body, soul, and spirit. The body, in the Greek, soma, is our physical existence. The soul, in Greek, psyche, is the animation of life or life of the body. And the spirit, in the Greek, the pneuma, is the life we receive from God, which connects us to the divine. Death is the separation of soul and body. Without the soul, the body is lifeless. Apart from God, we will literally disintegrate. Sin had to be contained before it matured into death. This instinct for self-preservation resulted in Adam and the woman taking and making clothing out of fig leaves. They dimly perceived their lack of self-sufficiency and attempted to cover themselves, to hide their shame, and to hold themselves together. To help us understand this, we should consider the concept of dressing itself. But before we delve into that, let us consider the concept of straightness and how it relates to clothing. In the Bible, righteousness and sinfulness are often juxtaposed, using imagery of straightness as opposed to crookedness. For example, in the Song of Moses we hear, "They have corrupted themselves, they are not his children because of their blemish, a perverse and crooked generation." Deuteronomy 32:5. Here, crookedness implies moral corruption, a turn from God, facing away from him through the march of time. The path of God is, as Christ tells us, both straight and narrow. Matthew 7:14. As St. Basil the Great tells us, quote, "He is upright in heart who does not have his mind inclined to excess or to deficiency, but directs his endeavors toward the mean of virtue. He who has turned aside from valor to something less becomes crooked through cowardice. But he who has strained on to greater things inclines towards temerity. Therefore the scripture calls those crooked who go astray from the middle way by excess or by deficiency." End quote. Interestingly, the very word dress comes from a root meaning to make straight. When we get dressed, we appear to straighten out our bodies, presenting ourselves in a more orderly way. This concept extends beyond the physical act of putting on clothes. It's ripe with symbolic meaning. With that in mind, let us look at the etymology of the verb to dress. Etymology is the study of word origins and how words are used over time. In this case, the word dress has very interesting historical usage as it made its way from Latin into English. When we talk about dressing, we're not just referring to putting on clothes. The word dress comes from Latin, directus, which means direct or straight. The old French word dresser means to make straight or to prepare. So when we dress ourselves, we're not only adorning our bodies with clothing, but we're also symbolically straightening ourselves out. This is exactly what Adam and the woman were doing with the fig leaves. They had fallen. So by dressing up in fig leaves, they were attempting to raise themselves from their fall, to straighten their crookedness by hiding that which their crooked deed had exposed. It's important to recognize that in virtually all depictions of Adam and the woman after the fall, they have leaves covering their genitals. This shows us that their union with the evil one birthed sin into the world, and they were attempting to limit its effects. So they took leaves to cover the physical result of the sin they had committed. In one sense, this is a doubling down on the initial sin, which is always the result of attempting to cover up one's misdeeds. In another sense, it's a heightening of their sin, for they took leaves from a tree, killing part of it for their own selfish reasons. This only led them further astray. Adam's basic intuition to cover, to dress, to straighten his crookedness was correct in one sense. But in another, it was an instinct tainted by his sin, because ultimately his intent was to hide himself from God. But how so? The Greek myth of Orpheus and Eurydice will help explain what's really missing in the garments of leaves. Here's the basic story. Orpheus fell in love with Eurydice, a woman of beauty and grace, whom he married and lived happily for a short time. Then, Eurydice was bitten by a snake and died. Orpheus grieved bitterly and descended into Hades to see his wife. Orpheus was eventually allowed to take Eurydice back with him under the condition that she would have to follow behind him while walking out from the caves of the underworld, and he could not turn and look at her as they walked. Only a few feet away from the exit, Orpheus lost his faith and turned to see Eurydice behind him, sending her back to be trapped in Hades forever. According to Plato's telling of this myth in Phaedrus, Orpheus is a coward. Instead of choosing to die to be with his love, he tries to circumvent death and get her back alive. His love was not true, meaning that he was unwilling to die for it. The same is true of Adam. He was unwilling to die to regain his love. And in his frenzy to escape death, he ripped leaves off a tree that he had been charged to care for. He knew that death would result from his disobedience, for God had told him as much. But instead of humbling himself to physical death for the sake of his soul, he irrationally tried to save his body by taking from a tree, something completely different in nature from himself, as if such a thing could really cover or atone for his sin. But death will not cover death. As Christ tells us, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, Luke 11:17. And in the Wisdom of Sirach we read, every work of man decays and fails, and he who made it will depart with it, Wisdom of Sirach 14:19. But the Creator of heaven and earth is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living, Mark 12:27. Therefore, life for life is the narrow path to redemption, Deuteronomy 19:21. For only he who has life in himself can truly conquer death, John 5:26 and Romans 8:35-39. Join me next week for a discussion on the garments of skin. Thanks for listening. You know the drill. Rate, subscribe, share. And for more content, visit thepodvic.com and sign up now. You can receive articles as well as full transcripts from every podcast episode.